Okay, I have some good news and some bad news tonight. You guys want the good news or the bad news first? All right, the bad news is that I have no notes for tonight. which brings me to the good news. The good news is the sermon's not gonna be that long. The reason why I don't have any notes, these are actually my notes that I was gonna speak to you guys tonight. These are a lot of notes, a bunch of boring stuff, I really believe. And so, as I was talking to Pastor Ken, you know, everybody's looking. we were talking, and again, you guys heard my testimony last night. And the youth, I really love you guys. You guys have no idea. You guys have, this is awesome. As I walk around campus, you guys hang out with each other. I didn't have this growing up. You guys have Jesus here, you know. You guys have this school, teachers that love you guys. I didn't have this growing up. And so there's just something that I just want to share with you guys today, this message. And let me start by a word of prayer, okay? Can we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this evening, Lord. And I thank you so much for just bringing me here and giving me this opportunity, Father. And I just pray and ask, Lord, that you will speak through me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And I don't see no teeth tonight. Where's your teeth at? Not smiling? You're not happy? Okay, let me tell you guys a little story. When I was around 12 years old, okay, don't laugh at me. I know you guys are gonna laugh because this is a funny story. I was 12 years old and I was just starting to get to know, you know, girls. Stuff like that. You guys are laughing already. Can I tell this story? So, I was 12 years old, and you guys remember tetherball? Who knows about tetherball? Raise your hand if you know about tetherball. Okay. Dude, you guys are gonna laugh at me. I shouldn't even tell this story. I'm about to embarrass myself. So, tetherball, sixth grade, I liked this girl. And recess was over. But let me tell you the important part first. My dad, we didn't have too much of a good relationship. But one thing I always remember he told me, he said, son, always be aware of your surroundings. Always be aware of your surroundings. And to pay attention to where you're going, where you're walking, and to not ignore your surroundings. So recess is over. the tetherball poles were over here, and I was playing four square. You remember four square or two square? So I was a pro at that. I could whoop you guys right now. We could settle this later, though. Just come see me. Bring a ball. So recess was over, and I seen the girl, and I'm just looking at her. I'm just looking. I'm like, man, she is pretty. Next thing you know, bam! Everybody started laughing that seen me. And I was like, oh, that was the most embarrassing thing I've ever experienced. And the first thing I remember was my dad. Be aware of your surroundings. Do not ignore what's going on around you. So I'm like, okay, it's all right, it's all good, right? But the next thing you know, I get a little older and I start learning how to drive. Oh. Me and girls do not mix, right? What did my dad always tell me? Can you guys remember? Be aware of your surroundings and do not ignore what's around you. It's a message there, right? So I'm at a gas station, AM, PM. And I just got done getting some gas. In California, it's AM, PM. I don't know if you guys have that out here. Okay. So I'm getting gas. And I put the gas thing up, you know, put the cap on. I get in my car. And you have your gas, I don't know what it's called, where you get your gas from, the pump, right? Then you have poles that prevent people from hitting the gas. But they're like this high. And so I see this girl walking to AM, PM. You know, I always had a nice car, you know. Like, I got a nice car, man. Let's see if I can get some attention. So next thing you know, I'm sitting there and I'm driving a little bit and I'm still looking in the store. And I try to turn, and next thing you know, my head goes, boom, and hits the steering wheel. I'm like, oh my goodness. And people around, I hear them laughing at me. Even older people were there. They're like, this idiot just hit the pole. You know what I mean? So there's a message in, as much as humorous as that is, there's definitely a message in that. And I really believe that the message that the Lord wants me to share with you guys is be aware of your surroundings, okay? Do not ignore the word of the Lord. My life kind of revolves around the story of Jonah. You got these great speakers like Ivor Myers, and Ivor Myers, you know, he preaches on Genesis, in the beginning, and he talks about how his life was void and all this stuff. And then you have other speakers that talk about Ezekiel dry bones and how they used to be like just walking around a form of godliness with no power. My story was like Jonah. So does everybody have their Bibles? If you have your Bibles, please say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So turn with me, if you will, to Jonah 1:1. And when you get there, please say amen so I can know you guys are there. Amen? Amen? Is everyone there? Amen. I'm hearing some amen.
Amen.
Jonah 1:1.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. You guys got to be prepared. You know, back when I was on the streets, and I used to, hold on, let's be quiet for one moment. On the streets, right? You know, I used to be in like a little gang and we used to carry our guns. You always had to be prepared because you never know what was going to happen. You got to keep your gun next to you. Well, I still carry a gun. It's black and it has 66 clips and 100,000 rounds. And when I aim that thing, Jesus pulls the trigger. Pow! Lust. Pow! I start knocking them things down. You got to be prepared. Come on, you guys, you got to get with it. Where's your word? Is anybody there? Everybody there? Say amen. All right, you got to get it ready. You got to get it ready. Let's fight off the enemy tonight, brothers and sisters. Okay, so let's look at Jonah 1, verse 1, and it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. What is the word? The Bible. That's typically what everybody says. The word is the Bible. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. But if you look in John 1:1-3, you guys probably know that. The word was, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was what? Was God. And then if you go to verse 14, it says, And the Word was made flesh and what? Dwelt among us. So the Word is who? Jesus, right? Amen? Okay, so the Word was Jesus. So if we look at this, and it says, now Jesus came to Jonah saying, son, the son of Amittai, saying what? Arise and go. Pay attention to detail. You got to pay attention to the word of the Lord. Something that my dad had told me. What does that mean, arise and go? What does that mean?
Get up and go.
Get up and go. You know, in the Hebrew, that arise means, I probably will butcher this word, any Hebrew or Greek scholars, you know, but it means kum. It means to perform. So when Jesus comes to Jonah, Jesus says, hey, Jonah, perform. Perform. It's time to get busy. We got work to do. Just like when I was in my streets, if we got into a situation, my friends was like, hey, bro, ew, come on, man. It's about to get ugly. Hey, you guys, Jesus comes to Jonah and says, arise, go to Nineveh. What was Nineveh? Thank you. It was a city full of what? Crime and wickedness. Look around us today in this world. What is it full of? Crime and wickedness. So when Jesus came to Jonah and said, arise, go, he said, do what? He says, cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. So my question is to you guys, what are you going to do? Because Jesus has come to you. He's coming to you tonight saying, arise, go. There's people that only you can reach. There's people that only I can reach. Some of you probably can't go to the hood of Sacramento, the hoods of LA. Some of you probably can't go to Las Vegas on the strip and try to talk to somebody who's gangbanging. But I can. I may not be able to go where you can go and reach somebody. But with God for us, who can be against us? Amen? Because God said, I will be with you and I will never leave you nor forsake you, right? So if Jesus came to Jonah and says, arise, go, we're going to see what Jonah did. In verse 3, it says what? But Jonah knew truth. He was a prophet. Oh, Ken, Pastor Ken, I know I have to do my homework, but come on. Pastor Chelsea, I know I'm supposed to not stay up late and have, but you follow me? We like but, not but. You guys are silly. I said myself, you guys would laugh when I said that too. Me and my friend would always joke about that, but it's true. We always like the word but. You guys know truth, but if your parents tell you to do something, hey son, can you go take out the trash? But I will, I know I'm supposed to honor my father and mother, but I don't want to. So Jonah tells Jesus, let me ask you guys a question. Have you guys ever told Jesus, but I want to do what I want to do? Have you guys? I know I have. I know I have. I'm not in denial. So, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah went the opposite direction. Jonah said, I know truth, but I'm going to go do what I want to do. He was choosing to separate himself from Jesus, knowing truth, but he wanted to go do what he wanted to do. How many people have wanted to do what they wanted to do before and did not want to listen and follow directions? Everybody's hand should be up, because if not, Jesus would have already came. Amen? We'd be a perfect people. We're far from perfect, but we're striving for perfection. So, it says that he left the presence of the Lord. And look at this in verse 3. It says, and he went where? Down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. And he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. and to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, when you leave the Lord and when Jesus comes to you and says, arise, go, tell somebody about Jesus. Please go tell somebody about Jesus. There's a lot of people in this world that don't know Jesus. They know of him. They use his name in vain, correct? The most popular saying, I believe, is O-M-G. Oh my God. People say that all the time in text messages, Facebook. You always see O-M-G. They know about Jesus, but do they really know? What does it mean to really know Jesus? This whole thing is about Jesus. What does it mean to know Jesus? Okay, this is what God showed me. How do you know your girlfriend or your boyfriend? I'm speaking to you guys. You guys know what I'm talking about. I'm trying to, you know what? Somebody came to me, one of the students, and said, hey, brother, just be real with us. Just be real. You guys want, some people came to Tiana. Just be real. I'm being real with you guys. You guys need to be real with me, but most of all, you guys need to be real with yourselves and God. You follow me? So what does it mean to know the Lord? How do you get to know your boyfriend or your girlfriend? And how do you do that? Tiana was talking about this morning. You pick up the phone and call. If they stay far away, you pick up the phone and call. You spend time with them. You get to know them. As you pray to the Father, you enter into his presence. And Jesus, praise the Lord, intercede for us. Okay? So, and it says right here that they went down. You know what's so funny to me? I was looking at this. Jonah, it says that he paid the fare and went down. He paid the fare. Let me tell you something. Somebody told me once that sin will take you further than your will than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and have you pay more than you're willing to pay. Woo! Let me tell you guys something. I am in debt. Anybody want to give me a loan? Because of my consequences and me choosing to go away from the Lord, and instead of going up, I chose to go down from the presence of the Lord. Guess how much money I have to pay each year for child support? $130,000. A Bible worker can't live off of that? Huh? Come on. After paying that, what am I supposed to do? And I have a family. Sin will have you paying more than you're willing to pay. I had legal issues. $3,900, or I have to go back to jail. I have to pay that. Consequences. Praise the Lord for the power of prayer because I prayed. Just a quick short testimony is that I was going to have to pay $3,900 for a lot of these fees. I was out on double bail, and this is when I had given my life to the Lord. And, you know, a nice gentleman came up to me and gave me a check for $3,900, the exact amount that I needed. I just want to express to you the power of prayer right there. But brothers and sisters, I don't want to take too much more of your time, but I just want you guys to understand something. Are you ignoring the word of the Lord? Are you ignoring Jesus coming to you and speaking to you through me tonight? I have no notes. This is the Holy Spirit talking to you guys right now. This is not me. I'm not even worthy to be here. You guys, this is my fourth sermon ever. Ever. This is not me. This is Jesus coming to you saying, are you ignoring the word? Are you ignoring me? Are you doing what I have called you to do? You guys are Seventh-day Adventists. You guys are going to finish the work for the Lord. Not the older people. Not me. I might have a little bit to do with it, but you guys are going to finish the work. You guys might not believe. You guys don't have to believe it. Because if you guys don't do it, guess what? Somebody else will do it. Another young person, because Ellen G. White says, a spirit of prophecy. You guys, who believes in Ellen G. White? Spirit of prophecy, who believes? Only half of you? Only half of you take the word of God seriously. Okay, all of you. She says that the youth is going to finish the work. The Bible says when two or more gather together in his name, who is in the midst? Who is in the midst? Jesus is in the midst. He's here right now with his heavenly angels. Hopefully, you are allowing him to touch your heart tonight, because there may be half of you here. Spirit of prophecy says that not one in 20 Adventists that are in the registered books are ready for Christ's soon return. Not one in 20. Not one in 20. So hopefully you guys are allowing the Holy Spirit to work on your heart. And I want you to do me a favor tonight. Not for me, but for the Lord. Go back to your dorm rooms. Talk to the Lord. Ask him, am I ignoring you? Am I ignoring you, Father? Jesus, am I ignoring you? Because Jesus is in this place, brothers and sisters, whether you want to believe it or not. And he's talking to you right now through me. And he's saying, are you going to ignore me? Brothers and sisters, let me tell you one more point. John 15, 16. Turn there in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 15, verse 16. And we're going to close. Amen. Everybody there? Amen. Okay. So we see that in John 15, 16, what does it say? Can we all read this together? Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you. Brothers and sisters, you have not chosen Christ. Christ has chosen you. Huh? Man, this is the same God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Man, this brother owns the hills too. That's what kind of God we serve. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. Preach, Holy Spirit. This ain't me. He's talking to you. You have not chosen God. He has chosen you. And he has ordained you. He's given you a position. And he says, go ye therefore and teach. And you know what the promise is? Look at the last part. It says, and whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he'll what? He will give it to you. Your fruit will remain. So brothers and sisters, tonight, I encourage you, please go back to your room. Let me tell you a quick little story. I got a call from my sister. She's a play sister in the streets. She hangs out with the wrong crowd. Actually, when my testimony, there was a picture when I was in a blue coat in yellow, and there was a white girl, and I had my arm around her. That was my little sister, Crystal. Well, she got involved with some of the same friends that I got involved, and I feel bad that I introduced her into my Trigger Mob friends. And so she hangs out with them all the time, and she called me up the other day, and she said, hey, Lawrence, man, you got Rita's number. Rita is a lady that she can get you in an apartment, she could change social security numbers around, get you in a house, and all kind of stuff. And you know, we used to use her to get us in different places so that way we didn't have to use our alias and our name for the police anyway. So she says, hey Lawrence, do you have Rita's number? And I said, sis, you know what, I don't. And even if I had her number, you know, I'm a different person, and you know that, I wouldn't even give you the number. Even in the small things, you gotta be faithful. That's just giving her a number. I could have just gave her here's the number, sis. 916-247-9137. Ooh. That was quick. That was simple, that was small. But I was faithful to the Lord, and I said, sis, you know I can't do that. And because I couldn't do that, and I stood and kept my standard right there, guess what happens? She tends to start breaking down to me and crying and saying, man, I don't want to live like this no more. I'm fed up. My kids, I don't have them. You know, the police are looking for me now because Big Marco put some package in my name talking about drugs. Now the police are looking for me. And she's like, I don't want to live like this no more. If I would have ignored the word of the Lord and wouldn't have showed love to her and stood up for the right and the principle, who knows what would have happened? You guys, be aware of your surroundings. Do not ignore the word of the Lord. Jesus is in this place tonight, and he's speaking to your hearts. He's knocking. He's saying, please come. Sit with me. All you guys know truth. You guys know more truth than me. I've only been in the message for about a year. You guys can probably say the whole 2300-day prophecy. You guys probably know Daniel, Revelation, all the prophecies, and I know a little bit of that, but you guys can probably run circles around me. If I was in a Bible battle with y'all, I'd lose, you know? So this is what I'm trying to say, you guys. I challenge you tonight. My appeal to you, the Lord's appeal to you is to go to your room tonight and pray. Search your hearts and see if there be any wicked ways in you. And ask the Lord, am I ignoring you, Jesus? Okay? So, I told you that wouldn't be that long, but I love you guys. And got a couple more nights to go. I have no notes. I'm just going to be relying on the Holy Spirit, so continue to pray for me. And this message just wasn't for you guys. This message was for me. And I thank you guys for listening. So shall we pray? Our loving Father, we thank you so much for everything, Lord, that you have done for us. And Heavenly Father, I just pray and ask, Lord, that you will search all of our hearts, including myself, Father. Lord, am I ignoring you, Jesus, talking to me? Is there things in my life, Father, that I'm holding on to, that I know I'm not supposed to be doing, Father? Please help me to be faithful, Lord. Help me to be in this movement with the young people, Father, to finish your work. Lord, we know that you're looking for solid youth, Father, that love Jesus and want to proclaim this message. Lord, we are in the last days, and I just pray and ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you will search our hearts and forgive us if we have not been following you. And we thank you so much for this open invitation to come to you tonight and accept this free gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.